Well, we were obviously hoping, and the Democrats were fearing, that this would have turned out in a hung jury, and that was a very realistic possibility, not just because of the obvious ridiculousness of the charges to begin with, but during the trial, it became clear, if anybody wasn't paying attention, just how convoluted and fake this entire case was. And there was reportedly one of the jurors who had Truth Social listed on their jury questionnaire form as one of their sources of news. But it turns out that was fake news, which I'll get into more in a moment. And here is your typical Democrat celebrating the fall of the Republic.
He's in a whole different status in society, in the legal system, in the rule of law. That's not only fitting, but a kind of miracle is too strong a word, but a really a day for celebration just because of the work like clockwork of the system, powered by not the personalities, but the law.
He means lawfare, legal warfare, which is using the legal system to persecute one's enemies, as this college textbook on lawyer ethics warns, is the most dangerous power with the highest potential for abuse in the entire government, saying that the prosecutor can pick people that he thinks he should get rather than pick cases that need to be prosecuted. And it goes on to say that prosecutor's power to damage or destroy anyone he chooses to indict is virtually limitless. When a prosecutor focuses on a person, it is not a question of discovering the commission of a crime and then looking for the man who committed it. It is a question of picking the man and then searching the law books or putting investigators to work to pin some offense on him. At that point, law enforcement becomes personal. And the real crime becomes that of being unpopular with the predominant or governing group, being attached to the wrong political views, or being personally obnoxious to or in the way of the prosecutor himself. And it turns out that jury member, who everyone thought was a Trump supporter because they listed on the jury questionnaire that they get some of their information or one of their sources is Truth Social, that we were hoping, obviously, it was a Trump supporter. Democrats feared that it was a Trump supporter, that that would be the one guy, at least, who would lead to a hung jury. Well, it turns out that he actually doesn't have a Truth Social account, and he clarified what he meant when he gets his information from Truth Social. He meant that he hears about what President Trump posts on Truth Social on Twitter, from people posting screenshots of Donald Trump's posts on Truth Social over on X or Twitter. But even if he was a big Trump supporter and wasn't going to go along with the scam, that might not have actually mattered because the judge was so determined to get a guilty verdict. Alan Dershowitz says that he has seen judges swap out the one holdout juror for one of the alternate jurors.
The judge said he's not going to dismiss the alternate jurors until there's an absolute verdict. One possible reason for that, and again, I want to emphasize that I'm speculating, one possible reason for this might be following, and it's quite cynical. Let's assume that the jurors come back and say, sorry, we're deadlocked. We have one juror who just won't give in. There are 11 of us who think he's guilty. By the way, the jurors don't say what they think. They just say there's a deadlock. But if they come back that way, the inference will be that the jury is locked 11 to 1 in favor of conviction. So the judge hears from the jurors, and the judge hears that they're 11 to 1. And then the judge says, well, is that other juror, the 12th juror, is he negotiating? Is he involved in the conversations? And the foreman of the jury says, no, he's refusing. He's sitting there with his arms folded saying, guy's innocent. Sorry, guy's innocent. I'm not going to listen to you. The guy's innocent. There's no case here. The guy's innocent. If I were on the jury, that's what I'd be doing. And then the judge has the power, rarely exercised, but he has the power. I've seen it done to say, well, if this juror won't deliberate, then he's violating his oath. And I'm going to substitute one of the alternate jurors for that juror, and then immediately they come back with a 12-0 verdict of conviction.
Well, maybe there wasn't the chance for a hung jury after all, since the fix was in and they had all of their bases covered from the very beginning. Are we even allowed to say that on the big tech platforms? They'll probably ban that if they haven't already, just like they banned people questioning the outcome of the 2020 presidential election. This may be one of those things that you're not allowed to question or say. The good news is that Donald Trump's felony conviction can't stop him from becoming the president. He still is fully eligible. Other bad news, however, is that he is scheduled to be sentenced 4 days before the Republican convention. So I don't know what's going to happen, if they're going to accept his appeal, if that's going to be sentencing delayed, pending appeal. A lot of legal scholars are saying that because of something like this, you know, a normal person would never go to jail. But we're talking about a presidential candidate here, and even if he doesn't get sentenced to jail or to prison, the judge in this case may actually sentence him to house arrest. So you really can't put anything past them at this point, because we're not in Kansas anymore. But thankfully, in these difficult times, the BBC invited Brian Stelter on air to give his analysis of the situation.
Yes, and here's what I fear about the coming months. If you think about the Trump presidency, he undermined the American media, calling the news fake, calling real news fake. What he's doing now is calling real law fake, right? He's calling it a sham, calling the system rigged. It is in the same way that he undermined the media, he's undermining the rule of law and the justice system. And that's going to have very unpredictable consequences in the months and years to come.
Oh, yes, he's the one undermining our legal system, just like he's the one undermining democracy, not the Democrats, who are destroying our country and now trying to put their political rival in prison. But Donald Trump made this point during his response.
The real verdict is going to be November 5th by the people. And they know what happened here, and everybody knows what happened here.
That's right. And even if this case isn't thrown out on an appeal, even if he is sitting in prison on November 5th, we're voting for him. And if he wins, he can still get sworn in by a Supreme Court justice, either in person visiting him there or remotely on January 20th, 2025. And then he can pardon himself, walk out of that jail cell, and back into the Oval Office. The symbol that encapsulates what it is that happened and the difficult road that we have ahead as a country is the upside-down American flag, which just signals that the country is in distress. Marjorie Taylor Greene, many other people posted this on their social media accounts, leading Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez to respond, asking, "Who did you learn that from? Samuel Alito?" That's in reference to the Democrat plan to try to force him to recuse himself or get removed from the bench from deciding on the other pending Donald Trump cases regarding immunity and other issues. And they also found then another flag. They're saying, by the way, that that's the flag of the insurrectionists, because some of the people at the Capitol on the January 6th, mostly peaceful protest, had upside down American flags because the country was in distress. And then the New York Times found another flag that triggered them outside of his vacation home, the Appeal to Heaven flag, or the Pine Tree flag, which was one of the flags used during the American Revolution, and in fact was a flag used by a squadron that George Washington had commissioned as commander-in-chief of the Continental Army. Another controversial flag spotted outside a Samuel Alito property. Well, of course, symbols of Americana are going to be controversial and disturbing to communists who are trying to tear them all down and then have them replaced with rainbow flags. So, of course, I put it on a nice t-shirt, which you should order from my online store at markdice.com or click the link in the description below. I added a nice weathered or distressed look to it, so it looks kind of like an old t-shirt that you bought as a souvenir from visiting a national park somewhere. And most of the morons out there are going to have no idea what this even is. So this would be a great way to signal to other patriots that you're actually an American. You get a great shirt and you support my channel, so head on over to markdice.com or click the link in the description below and check them out.